Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
What pissed Frank off more than any other moment that you ever witnessed?
Oh, gee. It was more frustration than anything else. Well, people taking advantage. You or I would probably get just as angry.
No, Mike loves to get angry.
If
Mike and the ketchup bottle.
Listen, yeah. It brings color to your face. It's really good for you.
So we're watching Roxy, and suddenly the band comes on. And it's a yacht rock band, and they're pretty tight. And they start doing some Beatles song.
Ooh.
And they're playing a Beatles song. And this guy who is this old man who has been motionless.
Right.
Is leaning his head back and singing along. This is his thing. That he doesn't.
Mike,
that
was it Paul McCartney?
What about El Pollo Loco?
You're on the right track.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, so it's a chicken place.
Think bigger.
Bigger than El Pollo Loco? El Pollo
Loco.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Paducah, Kentucky, Tracy, California, Hummelstown, Pennsylvania, Abbotsford, British Columbia, Canada, Fenwick Island, Delaware, Vung Tau, Vietnam. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And we're going to have some fun right now because we are going to take a trip down memory lane with showbiz royalty and talk about a subject that is near and dear. Well, nobody more than Rob Spiewak loves showbiz history. I like it, too. I like it, too. And Rob and I, Rob, you've seen Frank Sinatra live, right?
Haven't twice. You? Saw him twice.
I saw him once twice. At the Capitol Center. Tony O. Tony Apetisano, a.k.a. Tony O., is a former professional musician and singer who went on to become an award-winning producer, served as a member of Frank Sinatra's management team, and also managed comedian Don Rickles, another legend. Oh, man.
I know.
I don't want to get sad, but I'm... Oh, listen to that.
Don't get sad.
Listen to that voice. Tony was only 21 when he first met and befriended Frank Sinatra. Tony later became the singer's best friend and road manager, a contributor to two of Sinatra's platinum albums. He has written a book, and Rob finished it. I haven't gotten all the way through it. It is not a book you will be able to put down.
No.
Because if you love that era, as much as I love that era, you're going to love this. It's just loaded.
It's choice.
With personal stories from Tony O, because he was Sinatra's right-hand man. And he also did it for Rickles, too. The book is an intimate, revealing, controversial portrait of Frank Sinatra, his career, his romantic relationships, his personality. Frank and Tony would converse about music, family, friends, great loves, achievements and successes, failures and disappointments, the lives they'd led and the lives they wish they'd led. Hard to believe when you think about Frank Sinatra, you know, if he wished he'd led a different life. But
yeah.
I get it. I can understand that. His carousing, just all of it. It's a personal memoir of the man. And toward the end, there was nobody closer to the singer than Tony O, who kept his own rooms at the Sinatra residences for many years and held the superstar entertainer's hand when he drew his last breath. Mm. We welcome now Tony O. It's an honor to have you on the show, Tony. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining us. This is just great stuff for anybody who ever loved Frank Sinatra and his music, and just an amazing life you've led, being so close to Frank and to Don Rickles. I remember you from I believe it was the. I think they made a documentary about Don Rickles, and you, correct me if I'm wrong, you do the intro to Ladies and Gentlemen, right? Don't you do the intro to Rickles on mic when he would perform in certain venues?
Yeah, and it's funny how that, first of all, let me tell you how gratifying it is to be on the show. I really appreciate it, and that's a very humbling introduction that you gave me. I'm happy
you're more
to
than
pitch
welcome.
Myself to me.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's funny. It's that whole thing started by necessity. There was a gig. We were doing a gig in Atlantic City, and I was out front, literally walking Whoopi Goldberg to her seat. And Rick was waiting for me in the dressing room to come and get him and bring him to the wings. And as I'm sitting Whoopi down in the audience, all of a sudden I hear, "And now, ladies and gentlemen," I'm going, "What the hell?" And I had to run backstage to grab Don. They played his intro music. They kept repeating it till I finally got Don in place and pushed him out onto the stage. So I said, "You know what? From now on, I'm doing the introduction, and he's not going to go on until he's ready." So that was a necessity, the mother of invention, as they say.
Well, the book is in the wee small hours, Sinatra and Me. I love the title. And you right out of the gate, you talk about the fact that you and Frank were night owls, that you guys would sit and talk when everybody else had gone to bed. And, you know, from all the material that's been written and movies made and all that, you get an idea that Frank was nocturnal in that way. But when you tell the story, you realize that it's true. And I know Rob's got a ton of detailed questions that he wants to ask you. I'm going to ask mine first.
Okay.
Turn it over to Rob, because I have to ask you, you know, with the lifestyle of that man, I think about it a lot. I really do. When I watch old clips of Frank, the young, where this lifestyle, where they were night owls and he would be out in Vegas and he would be carousing, and the constitution physically of the man to be able to live that lifestyle and then get on stage with that voice and the instrument and all that. He was a hardy guy. I mean, physically, to be able to do that. I think a lesser man wouldn't be able to perform if you were out there, you know, drinking Jack, smoking cigarettes, and getting to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. It had to be a pretty tough guy.
Yeah, he never gave it any thought. He just did it. It's like, okay, this is what I do. That's it. It's not like he sat up and said, "Let me see now, if I need to go to bed at 3. No. There were times at 7 or 8 in the morning, especially in Vegas, I'd say, Frank, even for you, it's a respectable hour to go to bed. We got to do a show tonight." "Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay." But then again, well, he would sleep till 3. He'd sleep till 3 in the afternoon. That his breakfast was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
So,
all right. That's amazing.
Just kind of shift everything by 12 hours.
Right. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I'm one of Mike's favorite albums, and I actually have a small clip I want to play, is after Frank's sort of temporary retirement in the early 70s. And Mike, you'll know this right away.
I know. Main event.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. It's when they actually brought him. His return concert was at Madison Square Garden, and Howard Cosell announced it.
Live from New York, the city whose landmarks are familiar all over the world. The world center for shipping,
I own this.
Transportation.
And it goes on. But what I found fascinating in the Sinatra timeline, Tony, is that you met Frank during his so-called retirement, and that night was the first night you saw him perform. Really a seminal moment in showbiz overall. Can you explain or touch on the excitement in the room of Madison Square Garden that night when Frank returned to the stage?
It was the beginning of thousands of nights that I felt that kind of electricity in the room. It's hard to describe. It was, for me personally, it was surreal, because I was spending intimate time with Frank at Jilly's in the booth that he kept in the rear of the room. And then all of a sudden I'm in a room with 20,000 people, and I'm looking around, and there's Walter Cronkite, there's Buddy Rich, it was very surreal. And I was in a seat in Frank's block, and there were times where Frank liked to connect with people. He would pick people out of the audience and sing as though they were the only person in the room. And there were a couple of spots during that night where our eyes connected, and it was just electrifying, absolutely electrifying. And then later on that night, he went back to being the other guy that I met.
Wow.
And part of the reason to write the book is that I wanted to give the world an opportunity to pull back the curtain and give the world an opportunity to meet Frank Sinatra, the regular guy, because at the end of the day, that's who he was.
And when you talk, Tony, about the regular guy, you allude to it in the book that he was a sensitive guy. He was a guy that, like any performer, filled with insecurities, somebody mm-hmm. that, you know, needed a lot of reassurance. But tell us, in your words, about that regular guy. What was the biggest difference between tough guy, on stage, the chairman of the board, and the guy you would sit there and stay up with sipping Jack Daniels till 5 o'clock in the morning with? What was the real guy like?
We would have conversations about the same type of things that I would discuss with Rob or Oscar or you, just events of the day and family matters and things that friends were going through. He was very disarming when it came to his being so personable and caring, and his generosity, his philanthropic side, the side of him where if he got into some sort of a disagreement with someone he really cared deeply about, if it got very heated, he would withdraw almost to the point where go to bed and pull the covers over your head, make it go away. Hmm. And he was that kind of a regular, personable guy. He used to say, everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time, including me.
And when you talk about that, the renowned temper, this is a guy that, from the book, what I gathered, and Rob, you know more about it than I do. But from my reading, it was you were a guy that could calm him down and talk him down if that legendary emotional personality would come to the surface. You were good at that. Mm-hmm. Why do you think you connected with him so well?
We had a lot in common, and I guess Jilly saw that early on. I was friends with Jilly for a good 8 or 9 months before he even thought about introducing me to Frank, although Frank wasn't in New York at that point very much because he was in the beginning of his self-imposed retirement.
If I can interrupt, Tony, we should probably explain to people who Jilly is.
Please.
Because a lot of people don't know. I know he was, he's often, you hear the name associated with Frank, but if you could thumbnail who Jilly is, because he's a pretty legendary guy in his own right.
Well, Jilly Rizzo was a nightclub owner in New York, born and raised in Greenwich Village, came up the hard way, one of six brothers. And he opened the nightclub originally in 1948 in what is now Rockefeller Center, and then moved the club to 256 West 52nd Street. Rockefeller was buying up all the property and the rents were going through the roof. So Jilly looked for another place, and he took over a club called the Black Magic Room that was owned by Billy Daniels on 52nd Street. And that became Jilly's. And Jilly Rizzo, his real name was Ermenegildo, was his first name. Ermenegildo. The only other Ermenegildo I ever heard of is the clothing designer, Zania. Ermenegildo Zania. And I used to teach with him because when he nicknamed me Tony O, I said, why? He said, who else is going to remember that name? I said, look who's talking. Your mother is the one who named you Ermenegildo, and she started calling you Jilly.
Jilly Rizzo. I mean, the name.
It's a great name.
I feel like I'm watching Goodfellas when I hear that name. You know, Jilly Rizzo. with Frank, and how did Frank feel about the associations that so many people would have him tied to gangsters and people like, you know, you hear a name like Jilly Rizzo. It sounds like, you know, hey, I'm going to call Jilly Rizzo. You be careful right now. I mean, how did Frank feel about the associations with, you know, he did rub shoulders with people. You did, I'm sure, especially at Jilly's. There were a lot of people that were, you know, friends of Oz that were in that environment.
You know, Jilly's was a very eclectic club, though. It's really funny. It was ground zero for a lot of people. You'd walk into that club, and there'd be Van Cliburn sitting at one table, Maria Callas at a table, a senator at another table, and then, as Jilly used to put it, there's 15 years of good behavior sitting at the table in the corner. That was the clientele of the club. You didn't dare take a camera out inside. That's why when we took the first picture, Frank and I, with my buddy Les Stanko, we took the picture out in front of the club. You didn't dare take a camera out in the club.
Really?
Today,
okay.
Today, cell phone camera, you know, cell phone, there'd be a lot of broken arms in Jilly.
Nice. That's awesome. Go ahead, Oscar. I know you wanted to jump in.
Tony, first, let me say that it's a true honor. I didn't get a chance, unfortunately, to grow up with Sinatra in my household. We had old brown eyes, which was Julio Iglesias.
He's good, too.
But I learned about Frank just growing up, realizing in an odd sense that his daughter was also an artist, and trailing back and asking my parents, like, did you ever? And it just wasn't something I grew up in my household. What I wanted to touch on is just, first, thank you for writing this book. I think it's important for everybody, and true history from a first-person perspective. But the idea of somebody actually becoming the type of famous that Frank Sinatra was and is today is almost impossible to replicate in today's society because of what you just said, where you can't have the mystique of stardom or celebrity in this day and age because everybody has a cell phone camera.
Right.
And the ability for you to not penetrate, but befriend and be in this inner circle of inner circles, that must have not just been, momentous in your life. Did you, for outsiders looking in, did you see other people that maybe for the right or wrong reasons were never allowed in? Because trust is probably the hardest thing to find.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
That is a great question.
And that's part of the reason that Frank and I bonded so quickly. Jilly was very, very protective of who he brought into Frank's world. And if he sensed remotely that you had some sort of an agenda, you didn't come within a mile of Frank when Jilly was around. And so, you know, we clicked because Jilly brought me in. Jilly introduced me. So there was a built-in trust already. And then the more we got to know each other by spending time, our ethnic backgrounds were very, very much alike. Childhoods were alike. His father didn't want him in show business, and my father didn't want me in show business either. So there was a lot of mutual ground. There was a lot of cross connect. The music was probably the single biggest, for sure.
It's
funny you mentioned Julio. Frank used to go over to Monaco, usually for the month of August, and spend time with Grace Kelly, and he came back one year and he was talking about, he said, you know, I found a guy that is just, he is a huge star all over the world, except the United States. He has a fan base in the United States, but I'm going to make him as famous in the United States as he is in the rest of the world. And he started doing gigs, having Julio Iglesias on the show with him.
Wow.
And the next thing you know, he was as big in the United States as he was everywhere else.
Wow.
And deservedly so.
Wow. We're talking with Tony Apedisano. The book is Sinatra and Me in the Wee Small Hours. Let's talk for just a second here about the relationship with his children. The children that most of us know growing up, the famous children, Frank Jr. and Nancy Sinatra, but specifically Frank Jr. I always thought that had to be you know, one of the just the poster child. He had to, Frank Jr. had to be the poster child for having the famous father's shadow to perform him. Oh, yeah. And in the book, you talk about seeing one of the first times early in your relationship with Frank, going to see Frank Jr. perform. That's the first time you see Frank. And Frank Jr.'s on stage and alludes to the fact that he's going to introduce his father. And you observe Frank Sinatra glaring at his son, you know, no, I don't want that. And Frank picks up on that. Talk about what was the relationship like? What was it really? Because it had to be tough.
And how did it evolve, too? Because, I mean, they were side by side for the duration of the whole career. I'm curious, did it change?
Well, as a young boy, obviously, Frank was still married to Nancy Sr. But when he divorced her, let's see, Junior would have been about 7 or 8 years old at that point. And so Dad was now physically, only physically, missing. He was there every other way he could possibly be. He was there. He was at every event, major event. He was on the phone with them all the time. I mean, he was a dedicated father. But as most young men, sometimes when there's a male figure missing in your life, you begin to rebel. It's not a conscious thing. And so in his mid to early teens, he started getting into some trouble. And Nancy, God bless her, she was a bit frustrated because she didn't know quite what to do about it. And she conferred with Frank Sr. And he said, listen, you know, maybe the best thing that we could do to straighten him out is send him to military school. And so they did. And in Frank Jr.'s mind, it's like, okay, they're shipping me off. And so that kind of created a little bit of a distance between them, which never quite completely healed. I mean, they adored each other. It was obvious to anyone seeing them in each other's company. But there was always that little bit of an demilitarized zone, for lack of another term. Mm. But in later years, obviously, starting somewhere around, I think it was around 1988 or 9, thereabouts, Frank Sr. saw fit to have Frank Jr. join him on the road. And he had him as the conductor.
Yeah,
now, I mean, Frank Jr. could have chosen to go into country music or something else. He couldn't help but sound like his dad because the instrument was there from birth.
Yeah.
But he chose to follow in his father's footsteps, further underscoring how much he admired and respected his dad. I mean, he copied his breathing, his phrasing, his diction, and then tried to bring it to a whole other level when he could. So it was a very complicated relationship, but based on love at the end of the day.
The women in Frank's life, and you touch
Thank
on
you,
the
Mike.
Those
yes.
those
oh, re- so whenever re- you rel- talk about the women,
the way you had to talk about the women, you know, you talk about a lot of what I've read, what I've seen, what I think is that numero uno was probably Ava Gardner, but you also had Mia Farrow, you had Grace Kelly, you had so many loves in this man's life. Was Ava Gardner was Ava Gardner the love of his life, Tony?
Ava Gardner was, for lack of another term, the most tempestuous love of his life. She was, as I said in the book, I think she was the Angelina Jolie of her day.
Mm-hmm.
But she was so much like Frank. As he said, you know, she could drink me under the table if she chose to. Mm-hmm. The language, he said, stuff comes out of her mouth that could grow hair on the wall. And he said, but I should have realized that anything that burned that hot was bound to burn out. I was enjoying it while it was lasting. And so, you know, they were a lot alike. But they even after they broke up and were divorced, they remained friends until she passed away, as he did with all of his exes.
Rob, I say, Rob, you handle all the questions, but I can't help myself.
That's fine.
So please,
go ahead.
Allow me to talk about this with Tony. You can't talk about Frank Sinatra without talking about the temper. And
yes.
I have to ask you, in your personal experience, what is the moment? Do you have a singular moment where you saw Frank You know, there's a story that your other friend and coworker Don Rickles tells about the ketchup bottle being thrown against the wall. Jimmy Kimmel told that the night he broke up. I've watched that a dozen times with Jimmy Kimmel. What's the angriest you ever saw? What pissed Frank off more than any other moment that you ever witnessed?
Oh, gee, that's a difficult question. It was more frustration than anything else. Well, people taking advantage and just thinking that they could step into his life. Like you or I would probably get just as angry.
Oh, Mike loves to get angry.
Mike and the ketchup bottle.
Listen, it brings color to your face. It's really good for you. But, if people were unprofessional and he was relying on them for their professionalism, that would upset him. On a personal level, if we were sitting having a conversation and a fan would just walk over and shove a piece of paper under his nose and say, "Hey, Mr. Sinatra," and Frank would look up at the guy and say, "Can't you see I'm having a conversation with my friend, for crying out loud?" But the reciprocal is also true. Where if a waiter would come over and say, "Mr. Sinatra, those folks across the room are big fans, and they were hoping that maybe you could come over and say hello if you get a chance." Invariably, Frank would send them around the drinks or a bottle of wine.
Wow.
He'd go over eventually and spend 20 minutes to a half hour talking to them, taking as many pictures. People got back what they gave. Mm. And so it was a sort of like a like-kind reciprocity. You act like a schmuck.
Go ahead, Rob. We only have a couple more minutes with Tony, but I know you wanted to get a couple of questions.
A couple of things I wanted to ask. First of all, you know, we do a lot of Zoom calls in this, especially the past year and a half. You've got like the best Zoom background I've ever seen. It's
look at those records.
Just gold records. It's so lousy with gold back there. Any one of those that you can spotlight for us, sir?
Well, this one right here over my shoulder is a gold record that I earned. I collaborated with David Fritz, who was Charles Koppelman's son-in-law, on a project called Mob Hits.
I remember that.
He came up with the idea that, you know, there's so much great music in the mob movies, Goodfellas and movies like that.
Absolutely.
Wasn't acquainted with the artists or the material, and Charles Koppelman suggested that he call me. And so that's one. We did three albums, Mob Hits 1, 2, and Mob Hits Christmas, believe it or not. The one in the middle, I know, where in Sicily they teach you how to serve ice cream in a kneecap.
Oh. So,
<Ba-da-bing>.
But I did want to ask one other question, sir. Saw the first time I saw Frank was the Together Again tour. That was going to be him and Dean and Sammy in 1988. And by the time he hit DC, they had done a few shows and Dean had left the tour. And there's lots of stories about what happened there. Can you elaborate or shed some light on why Dean left that tour so early on?
It's really a very simple answer. The reason that they even came up with the idea of the tour was they were trying to get Dean out of the funk that he had slipped into at the loss of his son. And so he reluctantly agreed to do it. And then when he got out on stage, he was feeling that he, energy-wise, was not pulling his weight as well as Frank and Sam were on stage. And he just didn't feel like he was contributing the way he did at one time. And so he said to Frank, I can't continue to do this. And he apologized and said, "I'm going back to Los Angeles. I'm going to tell people that I have, you know, some medical issues." And he literally checked into Cedar Sinai Hospital to underscore his story that he was having some health issues.
Wow.
But the biggest fallacy that I need to and I did in the book is that Frank and he, that was a rift that never healed. That is absolutely untrue. We went to dinner many times. I literally put Frank on the phone with Dean about 14 hours before he passed away. So they remained like brothers till their death, both Dean and Sammy.
You know, it's just a great, great collection of Yeah, you had such access. The book is called Sinatra and Me in the Wee Small Hours. Tony Apetisano. I would love to, if you don't have a book about him yet, but I sure would recommend, part two would be Rickles, because that's one of my all-time idols. If you love this era as much as Rob and I do, grab this book, read this book.
Sinatra, you won't put it down. You won't put it down.
It's real. It's so fast moving. It's just my favorite story that we won't go into here is the story about Jilly's and the chef downstairs, where Frank walks right back and talks to the Chinese chef. It's the greatest thing in the world. It made me love the man even more. Tony, anytime you want to come back and talk about Rickles, we could do another half hour that way. This is great stuff. And thank you so much for writing the book. And thanks for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. It would be a pleasure. I'm a phone call away. Rob knows the number.
Awesome.
And, thank you.
You can grab the book in the show notes. We've got a link that'll take you right to the TMOS store. You can grab this book, and you should buy this book.
Absolutely. Tony, thank you very much.
Thank you,
we appreciate that.
Thank you, Tony.
Pony, you can.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Well, I will tell you, I could spend so much time talking about this. Yeah. It's just fascinating, all the stories. And we're going to take a break and start the show. We will come back with more fun and more thrills right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Outside.
Appropriate.
Now that things are slowly heading back in the right direction, and everyone's thoughts are on the beach, the pool, vacations, and cookouts, head over to the MikeOMaraShow.com website. Click on the shopping center banner, where you can head over to Target.com or Walmart.com for your swimwear, your cookout wear, your beach chairs, and every other thing for the summer. Now let's head back to the man who is cool as a cucumber, Mike O'Mara.
Not really. I mean, that was a great interview, but I tell you, with the powers that be, like the longest awkward, we don't know how to greet guests, to warm up guests, or to let guests say, it's time to... Tony, it was great having you on the show, but, do we have control over that when it's time, or do we have to sit there with the camera on while we're trying to do what we do?
Oh, we have full control. It's just a matter of getting it tight.
Yeah. Getting it tight. Yes. Yeah. All right. Wonderful. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Jeez, that makes me mad. I'm going to throw a ketchup bottle against the wall. this summer, we're seeing signs of a more normal life. Finally, we can get back to enjoying life's little pleasures, like smiling at your neighbor, seeing a movie, and going to the post office. Okay, some parts of normal life aren't so great, but with Stamps.com, you can skip trips to the post office and save on postage. With Stamps.com, you can print official U.S. postage anytime for any letter, any package, any class of mail, right from your computer, then schedule a pickup or drop it off. Simple. You get discounts up to 40% off post office rates and up to 66% off UPS shipping rates. And with their switch and save feature, you can compare carriers to find the best rates every time. No wonder nearly 1 million small businesses already use Stamps.com, just like us. Stop wasting time going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk. With the promo code TMOS, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale, and no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com, promo code TMOS, Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. That was fun. I was probably somebody saying, I don't know, is it, it's too much time passed or any of that, but it's actually very cool to have him on the show.
It was fun.
Showbiz royalty.
I was surprised he spotlighted the Mob Hits, because the other gold record he had behind him when we were doing the Zoom test yesterday, he said...
That's your thing. You are such a nerd, Nick, for stuff like that.
Mike,
collectible stuff.
If you would just stop and listen.
Yeah, it's a Frank hit or something. Well, he was promoting his own, his own accomplishments there.
Yeah, but he said, the other one, that's kind of nice. Mr. S gave that to me. That was his gold record for My Way. And I was
did you notice?
Just the gold record for My Way, that's all.
We didn't point out that he was wearing a pinky ring that Frank gave him, too, with, like, the Sinatra family crest mm-hmm. on it. And I would love to book him on the show.
Yeah.
How long? Do you know how long he was with? He was with Don Rickles post Frank,
yeah,
right?
So
or did he manage both of them?
P.S.
I think it was he
post Sinatra.
Yeah. He was with Rickles, I think, from like 98 on, I think. I think that's
oh, really?
Right. Yeah. So it was after okay. Frank passed. And also, we collaborated, but I want to thank Mark Riddell for making that interview
happen.
Because Mark was great
all
working
right.
with
I want,
very
thank
good.
You, Mark. Yeah. Two questions. One, I want to ask him if he knew the guy who allegedly beat his kids.
Oh, Bing Crosby?
Bing Crosby. Is that, do they
yeah.
cross over?
Yeah, he worked with the Bing Crosby.
Okay. I wanted to see if he had ever seen Bing actually hit his kids, because, you know, that's our bit here. Didn't ask that because I want to be respectful to the team and not.
That would have been a good follow-up when he went to that long thing about the complicated relationship between Frank Sr. and Jr. If you just said, you ever see Bing hit his kids?
Two.
Jilly Rizzo. Ice cream is best served in a kneecap. Hey, by the way, I was trying to get, he still has that long term. He is the kind of guy that was the loyal in the trenches
oh,
guy
yeah.
soldier
that was there. And in a case like Frank Sinatra's, I would imagine that showbiz is a weird thing. But I think that ultimately when you are more connected to a guy like that in that role than in some cases his personal relationships.
Yeah.
And when I say that, they had a personal relationship, but make no mistake. I mean, you know, he was with him all the time because it was his job
yeah.
to be with him all the time. But that got, you know, he was there
we
at the end.
We all need handlers, Frank's Mike. Hand. And if you're that, I would famous and successful.
Yeah, you're that big. Yeah,
oh, you're that big. You have people around you. Quick follow-up. I want to ask him, so Sinatra, and I know a lot about Sinatra, shockingly enough. I know I said old brown eyes, but it's true. But I had just watched a full doc that just happened to be on Netflix about Sinatra. This is like 3 weeks ago, unbeknownst mm-hmm. that Tony O was coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I sat there, and if you look at the pictures of Frank and his girlfriends or wives or whoever is around him, there are no Uggos around. Like, there's no... There is.
This is not news. Frank was the guy. When you watch, what's that?
This is not news.
This is not news.
I was shocked. Usually there's like a token.
Yeah, I know.
But the thing about it was, I think just Frank
very
was.
Very beautiful women everywhere.
Frank liked a cocktail. He liked his voice. But with the way they portray it mm-hmm. is that a lot of these guys had their relationships, but Frank was kind of a, you know, he was into quantity.
And married smoke you know? Shows. That's all he did.
Yeah. And Mia Farrow, and you talk about, you know, the Ava Gardner. That's mm-hmm. supposed to be mercurial.
Ava Gardner,
there.
Yeah, was supposedly was always on his mind throughout his life. And that there's one legendary story where one night he got so mad at Ava Gardner that he pulled out an 8x10 glossy, ripped it up into a million pieces, and made everyone leave the room. And when they came back 10 minutes later, he was putting it back together.
Aww.
He loved her so bad.
That is so demeaning, that sound. Oh, poor baby. What was the best story in the book?
The best,
Mr. I read the book cover to cover?
The best story in the book, I think, was the whole thing about him at the end and holding his hand. And when the doctor said to him when he was dying, he says, "You really need to stop smoking. You really need to stop drinking." And he didn't. Because that's not him. He was just always so true to himself. One thing I'd love to ask Tony, if
it's like when your doctor says to you, you really have to stop eating.
Yeah, but I wasn't 88. But one thing I wanted to ask him is if he felt that at the end, if Sinatra knew his legacy would last as long as it has so far and will continue to do it, I wonder if he ever really wrapped his head around it. That, you know, he was making pop records in the 30s.
Do they?
And here we are still talking
about
it.
That's a great question. Does he touch on the Kennedy situation?
Absolutely.
Damn.
And one of the things they bring up is the weird triangle that Frank had with Marilyn Monroe. I won't spoil it, but it's weird that, you know, both Kennedys, well, I'll spoil it. Both Kennedys were basically trading her back and forth, and Frank wouldn't.
Don't be so crass about it. Well, they were all dating. People can date around.
Well, yes, they were all socializing. But Frank found her too fragile to approach her, and he never had sex with her.
You know, I wanted to share this story.
But that's
the other
it was
night.
Always alleged that
what's
he did.
Fragile? What's fragile?
No, I'm emotionally fragile.
Oh, okay, emotionally fragile.
Yeah, something that, you wouldn't that, understand.
No, I'm broken.
Speaking of fragile and beautiful in a moment.
Don't embarrass me, Mike.
We go out to a restaurant Carl and I the other night, and we got this place that we like down here where when we get a babysitter, we go, and and to my babysitter, I'll say it now, who had a horrible weekend after she babysat for us. Carmen, I know you don't, I don't know whether you listen to the show. I don't think you do, but Carmen, we love you in unspeakable tragedy in your family, losing her older brother and his wife in a horrible car accident up outside of Orlando on Saturday night when we were out. I just wanted to say that it's terrible, and she's really been like part of our family down here. So we go out on Friday night, and we're sitting at the bar, and it's got really nice bar food, and we like to go in, have a nice toddy, and then have dinner and sit at the bar, because you don't have to go through all the, you know, the crazy stuff,
right,
like waiting and stuff. And there's a little band that plays, and they're I would say they're like a yacht rock band that's playing. So we're sitting down early, like we always do. I think it's 5:30. We're sitting down. That's when we go out,
because
we're old, and I'm old. And in walks this this old guy with his really old father. And I mean, I'm talking about old looking. And, you know, nothing said anything other than this man is 100 years old. Turned out, as we found out later, he was 95. And he is frail. And he is being slowly, very slowly brought up to the bar. And they were sitting a couple of seats down from us at the bar. And this guy appears on first look that he's really not even there, that it's really, he's sitting there, he's got kind of that face, he's not really interacting. You know, it's sweet that his son is treating him like this. And I watch this. And then the food comes, they get a little glass of wine, and they pour the wine out. And I'm like, oh, well, he's having a glass of wine, and that's cool, too.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of activity from this guy. He really looks like, you know, he is, you know, he's at death's door. He really, really does.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like he's interacting. So we're watching, and suddenly the band comes on, and it's a yacht rock band, and they're pretty tight. First set, really, really good. A lot of yacht rock stuff, and they start doing some Beatles song.
Ooh.
And they're playing a Beatles song. And I look over, and this guy who is this old man who has been motionless,
right,
is leaning his head back and singing along. You can't hear him because the band's real loud in there, but he's singing along, and I just thought it was the coolest, sweetest thing.
Aww.
And we found out, because we're hanging out there later on, that this is his thing. That he doesn't,
Mike,
that
was it Paul McCartney?
And it was so sweet and cute and adorable.
That's awesome.
And this man, as the evening wore on, there were people that ended up speaking with him, because we're older people ourselves, and you can tell that there's a connectivity for people. And this younger lady, a little younger than me, goes over, a very, very attractive lady, and goes and speaks to the old man. And apparently she just lost her dad a few months earlier.
Brutal.
And she's talking to him, and she walks over, and she's just so kind to him, so sweet to him. And as she's walking back around the bar, you see tears in her eyes like that. And I gave her a little fist bump, and she kind of hustled by me. And then she came by me and told her story about why that he had been in the military and her husband's in the military, a career officer in the military. It was just the most beautiful evening of just love and all that. And all from this 95-year-old frail guy that was the center of activity in this restaurant, and a pretty nice little mellow band that was playing as well. Drummer looked like Dude Walker. It was there.
Where's my
snare? It was a sweet thing, and then of course I got into a bar fight. At the end of
did you?
No, I did.
Despite
not.
His frailty, did he appear to be? He was with it. I mean, he was.
Oh, he's with it enough to. He had his physically. He ate slow. He drank slow. He gets a little ice cream sundae right after he gets his dinner, and then he has his food. He listens to his first set of the music, and he's out of there. That's his little routine. And God bless that son for the Herculean effort of getting Grandpa in there and doing that. It was
true.
So I just wanted to share
pretty good,
that.
Pretty good.
How's the ice cream, Colonel?
Hey, ice cream. You know that. Come to Maine sometime. Old people love ice cream. The hair's blue. They'll be at the ice cream
shop. They like ice cream, Mike, and they like chicken as well.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, if you like ice cream and you really like ice cream, sometimes your wife, doesn't get excited about the Ben and Jerry's, man, and throws it up. We'll be right back.
Right,
there's the anthem.
Hey, kids, time to start your day with a delicious new breakfast cereal. Yeah! You'll love the taste of new sugar-frosted Cerritos.
Oh, great!
Toasted corn crunch with the delicious taste of buffalo wings. Part of a supercharged breakfast. Just look for Goose Cerrito in your grocer's cereal aisle. And be sure to look for a bonus in every box. Speaking of bonus, why not try the delicious taste of the TMOS Bonus Show? Click the link at MikeOMaraShow.com from the makers of your favorite Kellogg cereals.
They're okay.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using depth, speed, and power. And it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. There's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. The OLED screen and the design is amazing. You got to go to their site and check it out. I love it. I've had one and it's fantastic. The Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines. It's great for after those summertime workouts and too much fun in the sun. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams, elite athletes, hundreds of thousands of customers, and I love it as well. In fact, Kevin Durant and Aaron Rodgers invested in the company. That's how much they believe in Theragun. Try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to theragun.com/TMOS right now.
Oscar, now is the time
right
to
now.
Do it. Yes.
Now is the time. And get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/TMOS. Theragun.com/TMOS.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
I wanted to mention this because Tampa is becoming a hockey town.
Tamper.
Up there. And they had their parade yesterday. Lord Stanley looked more like Lord Jetski on Monday. This is on the heels of Tom Brady with the Super Bowl trophy thrown in there. You know, they partied Tampa. They partied near the water, the Gulf of Mexico. Tampa Bay Lightning stars, I hope I get the names right, Alex Killorn and Nikita Kucherov just took the Stanley Cup for an epic ride on the water. It all went down at the NHL team's championship parade in Tampa, and I watched the video. It was awesome. The two put the trophy on a jet ski right up near the steering column. And then they took the title bling out for a joyride, and all these boats are on the water, and they're negotiating through it. I'm thinking, you know, trophy, medal, one little slip, I guess you got to go get the divers come in and get it from the bottom.
I got to ask you, as a hockey fan that you are, there's just that one cup, right? I mean, there's...
Yeah, well, okay, yes and no. I think that with the Stanley Cup, like, for example, when I went and saw the Stanley Cup in Toronto...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I was all excited about it. I said, well, that's not the real one. It's always a little hinky about the one they take out and the one that's dented.
Which is the one that Ovechkin was doing keg stands out of?
That's the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, but I'm saying, is that the one that travels to Tampa, or does that go somewhere else?
I would assume that's the real one, but I don't know for sure.
It started as a literal bowl, and as it, you know, they add to it, add rings and stuff to it. But Ovechkin was in bed with it. Remember, they always pose with it and do wacky stuff.
It's got to be that cup until the cup gets too big, right?
Right.
They keep putting rings on it.
Man.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the way you know what? I'll research
That's
it and I'll get back to you. That's what I'll do. The football team in our nation's capital will not be the Washington Warriors.
That's right.
In the future.
Oscar.
Damn it.
Even though that was my favorite name for the team, they announced Monday it has ruled out the potential name due to feedback from Native American community members. Washington football team president Jason Wright explained it all in a lengthy letter posted on the team's website, saying the Warriors nickname, which many fans have advocated for going forward, I guess I'm insensitive because I did too, simply did not distance the team enough from its former identity.
He should change his name to Jason Not Right.
It took 2 years for them to come up with that.
That's right.
I can't believe it. I think it's just dumb. Feedback from across communities we engaged clearly revealed a deep-seated discomfort around Warriors. I don't want to get into the weeds on this, but I just think when you think of Warrior, Warrior has been referred to in many, many different cultures.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If it originates in Native American culture, maybe they got a point. So not sure what's next
what
in line.
About the Washington Monuments?
Washington Monuments. Anyway, we'll see what happens with that.
I'm way in.
The worst.
The fourth installment of the Jackass series of films now has an official title. The only reason I put this story in, Jackass Forever.
Oh, fantastic. Sounds like a Marvel movie.
The movie series will return its latest hilarious update in October. In 2000, Johnny Knoxville and his band of mischief-making friends pitched the idea of Jackass as a TV show to MTV, the reality show you know. It went on to, you know, make history. The show ran for 3 seasons, and now it's had 3 successful films, Jackass the Movie, Jackass Number 2, and Jackass 3D. Jackass Forever will be the first Jackass film since the 2010 3D version. Yeah.
Just briefly, one of our editors that we hired, I mean, 3 or 4 months ago, video editors, he worked on a season when he worked for MTV on Jackass. And he said that I quote, "Those guys were animals. As soon as we were done taping, they'd all go to the bar and they expect us to come with them. And we had to work the next day, but we had to stay up all day or they wouldn't work with us all night or they wouldn't work with us the next day." So
so he's like the Tony O of Jackass.
Literally.
Oh, my God.
It's great to hear.
Well, they probably have a lot of alcohol still in their, you know, bodies to do crap they do. Well, the Emmy Award nominations were announced today. Here are this year's nominees. Blah, 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 The Crown, blah, blah, Handmaid's Tale, blah, 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 blur, blah, Mare of East, blah, blah, blah,
Murder
Hugh
Dirt.
Grant, blah,
Murder Dirter
Late
got
Show,
one, huh?
Colbert, blah, blah.
Good for them.
What got one?
Murder Dirter.
Murder Dirter.
Murder Dirter. Jimmy Kimmel, blah, blah, Mandalore, blah, Blackish, blah, Ted Lasso, blah, blah, Cobra Kai, blah.
How about iCarly?
Blah, Kaylee Cuoco, blah. That's
Award
shows have lost me as time has gone on.
I
agree. Too many categories, you know, not enough fun.
There's too much TV content for the Emmys to remain focused. I mean, it's all spread out.
The AVNs are still relevant.
They are. And again, it's an honor just to be nominated.
Of course.
Weren't we there in Vegas one time when we were there?
Oh, yep. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've been there multiple times when the AVNs were there.
Mike, I believe you presented twice.
Not by design.
Porno Dan and I were there a long time ago.
I bet.
And I should clarify, when I say you presented, I meant you were giving out an award.
You're in booth.
No, I turned around, dropped my pants, and presented my ass to the crowd. I am proud of this story. I like this story, and I liked what it says about the American worker. 72% of working Americans surveyed feel that employers should require proof of vaccination in order to return to work.
Amen.
Amen.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
In surveying 1,378 Americans on the ideal work environment, the media company Digital Third Coast also found that 43% prefer staggered schedules, 34% would prefer more outdoor spaces for work. Other key findings include that 27% prefer a hyper-focus on hygiene. Amen.
Yes.
A 19% prefer the use of official vaccine passports for work inside a building.
Mm.
Hello. Wouldn't you advocate for that, Oscar?
Oh,
absolutely.
My line to any recruit, and this is it's Schmosker Fantanas when he's hiring people.
The Schmeo. Yes.
Schmosker says, he can't legally say you have to have a vaccine to be seriously considered for this role or be vaccinated. But he heard that he says it's highly suggested. Because why not mandate it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mandate it. I believe in that.
Like
I really
say,
do.
Remember the movie, the Steve Martin movie, L.A. Story? We can certainly urge her.
Yeah. We're going to be, I'm not going to do my half hour. At some point I will.
Okay.
But we are going to be, when we are long dead, history will judge this.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And judge the people that politicize this crap, and they have blood on their hands.
Yep.
This should not even be a thing, but it is, and it sucks, and I'm sad about it, but I'll do that another time. Tune in. I know there are a lot of people who really look forward to that. Okay? Yeah. And now a little something, something. The entire staff of a Burger King in Lincoln, Nebraska walked out.
What?
And they announced it on the restaurant's marquee, saying, "We all quit. Sorry for the inconvenience." The employees say it was justified because they were overworked, understaffed, forced to work in a very hot kitchen without air conditioning, and corporate wouldn't repair their broken equipment. So when the general manager of the location put in her 2 weeks' notice, it started a chain reaction until everyone was out.
Mm.
Rachel Flores is the former general manager, and she said that they didn't think anyone would really care about the marquee. That tells you all you need to know. I don't care. Yeah. They just wanted to put up a sign to say, sorry, there's not going to be anyone here today. Burger King hasn't commented, but upper management was not happy. Ooh.
Ooh. I bet you the king's pissed.
They changed the marquee immediately. Yes, of course. Change that marquee.
Change it.
And they shifted employees from one location to the other.
Yes.
So they did stay open. I knew people were going crazy over the new hand-breaded ka-ching, but this is taking it too far. Communication's been a problem at Burger King because the king, as you know, his lips don't move. That's what it is. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey,
I'm really glad I got that from you guys. That felt good. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more fun right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. They liked it.
Drainage. Drainage. Eli, you boy. Here, if you have a milkshake, and I have a milkshake, and I have a straw, and my straw reaches across the room and starts to drink your milkshake. I drink your milkshake. I drink it up. Did you think your song and dance and your superstition would help you, Eli? The only thing that will help you is the TMOA Shopping Center. Access them at MikeOMaraShow.com. Be part of the solution. They have milkshakes, Eli, and straws. And Eli, if you go to the medical section, there will be blood. I shop it up.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Hey, Rob, do you think the people at Best Fiends would be perturbed if I did the Best Fiends commercial in my Peter Lorre accent?
Mike, they actually sent a request. It was a registered letter. They said, please, Peter Lorre next time.
You can't help but feel a little relieved. Things are starting to feel more normal this summer, even when normal means sand in your shorts.
Oh,
itchy. When you download Best Fiends, your brain can feel like it's laying on the beach all year long. Without the crowds, the bugs, the screaming kids, and the itching. Stay inside. There are literally thousands of levels in Best Fiends to make your brain feel like it's on summer holiday, no matter where you are. I suppose you could go to the beach and play the game as well. Best Fiends is way more fun than the other matching puzzle games out there. It's one of those games that makes 30 minutes feel like 30 seconds, and it's totally free to download. With thousands of fun puzzles to solve, there's something new every day. Rob is on level 3,723.
Peter, would you mind if I did this as Sydney Greenstreet since we made so many movies together?
Yes, I would. This is my character voice. Okay. Don't copy.
Spoiled Greenery is level 3723, and all I have to do, although it's been elusive, I have to get 28 green gooey things and 200 leaves. The gooey things I can do, but the leaves, very elusive, Peter.
All right, I feel guilty. Go ahead, do your green thing or whatever the hell that is.
This is a wonder. It's a wonderful game. It's a wonderful game, Wilma.
My judgment. My judgment was sound. There's just so much to love about this game. Give it a try and you'll love it as much as Rob does. I guarantee it, everyone. Download the 5-star rated puzzle game Best Fiends free today. On the App Store or Google Play. That's Fiends without the R. Best Fiends.
All right, two things about food. Then tomorrow, let's set aside some time. I know Oscar wants to talk about Val Kilmer and the documentary that's out there.
Trailer.
The trailer for the documentary.
Soon on, I guess it's Amazon.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
couple of things about food. Really unrelated, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. One happened on the most recent little trip out to the Pacific Northwest. When we got home, we traveled almost 9 hours between getting to the airport, waiting, delays, blah, yeah. blah, blah. And we probably were a little super hungry when we arrived. And I'm here to tell you that the O'Mara family has reconnected with a classic fast food joint. One that I've thrown darts at, a lot of darts at, and we loved it. And that's and we're still on that kick.
Are we allowed to guess?
You may guess. Yes, you may guess.
Okay, mm-hmm. I will guess Wendy's.
Wendy's, quite the contrary. I have to hit a buzzer for Wendy's because we have been not happy with the Wendy's in our area, so we have not
Sad.
Been
Leesburg
going
Wendy's
there.
Wendy's is great.
I don't think there's anything great about Wendy's.
I have another
That's
guess.
My opinion. Mm. Yes.
Checkers.
Checkers is not correct. Hard to find down in this part of the world. So, but by the way, we popped in on this one. They're all over the country, but we popped in on the one just outside of Miami.
Ooh. Miami.
Oh,
right.
I know what you're talking about.
Excuse me, just 1 second here. Just doing a little show. That's all I'm doing. Just trying to feed the family. Just doing a little show here. Hello?
That's the best.
That is.
All right.
What about a Pollo Loco?
You're on the right track.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, so it's a chicken place.
Think bigger.
Bigger than El Pollo Loco? El
Pollo
Loco.
Pollo Loco.
Taco Bell.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Hey. Taco Bell.
Bingo.
I hadn't been ordering correctly. I think sometimes when you get the crispy fried double chalupa, you know, Sacco and Vanzetti,
yes. yeah.
thin, crusty, you just get a regular little beef burrito. Not Ooh. Even the Supreme. You just get a regular. I'm down with it.
The steak soft taco is perfection.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're back. And this is on the same week that my wife, after Sean Greenwood came on the show.
Yes.
And was really, really wonderful. And I sent him a personal message, talk about how wonderful he is and that I love the guy and he can come back anytime. You know, I cheated. I told Carla, why don't we keep those in the freezer, mm-hmm.
freezer.
For specialty occasions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Celebrations.
Like when my doctor tells me my heart's not going to explode. And what happened? Well, what happened was Carla went off to do one of her runs, and I was in the house alone, and I think Michael was at a friend's house. And when I'm alone, it's like when you come home and you find the addict
yeah.
that's on the floor of the bathroom, you know, mm-hmm. with the needle sticking out of his arm. I'm sorry to, you know, take
the
that graphic illustration.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a tablespoon this time.
Yeah. And by the way, the boozy
cheat,
one.
Though? Do you just eat a little bit or do you kill
it? No. No, if you commit, you know, you're not going to have these opportunities. Mm. So what you do is you go for it.
You
and
kill
that
the
bourbon,
pine.
That bourbon or what, the whiskey biz?
Whiskey biz,
yeah,
yeah. Whiskey yeah, yeah. biz, whiskey biz. Yes. With the brown buttered.
Beyond so good. Incredible. The mint one, meh. Not the mint I
is
like.
It,
I,
if is you want, it green? Because you don't like green mint
no,
ice cream.
No, it's not green, but what it is, instead of having the chocolate pieces in it,
yes.
it has chocolate cookie pieces. And I'm not a fan of chocolate cookies, of mint cookie pieces.
You want chips, or maybe even.
I want chocolate chips,
I would.
Yes.
I also Mike, if the chocolate is shaved.
Be honest.
Yes.
What did you eat, and which flavor pints did you kill?
I killed the whiskey biz.
Yes.
I killed what was left of one of the toppers.
Yeah.
One of the topper ones.
Oh, with the ganache.
And then the last one that
and?
I grabbed before they were thrown out, I killed the mint. Not at the same city.
No.
But
no.
But over a weekend I did. And then I said, throw them out. Throw the rest out because I'll eat them. They're that good.
That's
I will
like,
throw.
That's how Chrissy Metz diets on This Is Us. Remember, she'd throw food away. She'd actually put dog poop on the food so she wouldn't be tempted. That was in one
really?
Of the early episodes.
I don't remember
this
that.
Is Us. Yeah.
Is that really
it clearly
true?
Didn't work.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, Ben and Jerry's have been great for my hair. I promise, I commit to our listening audience and our viewing audience in particular, I will never have another bad hair day like I'm having today.
I don't know.
I will product
I think it
my
looks
hair.
Pretty good.
It's wispy.
It's just ridiculous. You know what Carla said? Your hair looks like your mother's hair. That's,
oh, that's sweet.
That's
that
not
is
cool.
a low blow, Carla. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. You want to, while we have time, do you want to give us a Whirlpool update on your refrigerator?
Yes, as a matter
speaking
of fact,
food?
I do. I want to thank I want to thank a listener.
We've changed a lot of people's lives,
Mike. And did you check
the bonus show? The bonus show.
Did
really
you
changed
check
a lot
the base
of
your freezer, your Whirlpool freezer?
No, because my drawer's working pretty well.
Sure, it works until it doesn't work.
Well, since my wife threw away the Ben and Jerry's, what the hell do I have to go in the freezer anymore for? What? Frozen peas?
You need ice cubes. You know?
No. I've got a dispenser like you do. I bought the one you have.
All right, I got it from watching you.
No,
I want to thank
you. Yours has a dispenser, right?
It does, but sometimes I keep, I keep party ice as well. I was confused. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. You keep party ice in your freezer?
Occasionally, yeah. If I'm going to have company over, you don't. Mike, is nothing worse than running out of ice.
Yeah, I agree. We might even be buying one of those tabletop ice makers that makes ice.
You know what? I would like sample it because we just got a new Sheetz in Leesburg.
Sheetz.
I know. Be jealous if you must.
I love it.
But they've got one of those great ice dispensers for their soft drinks that it's like compressed pellets.
Yeah, it's so good.
Oh, you can just have the ice. It's fantastic. It's so great.
Sheetz, by the way, for you Pacific Northwesters, is the town pump of the East Coast.
Yeah.
I saw her there.
Noted.
Mike, I want to say hi to listener Ann Irwin.
Ann Irwin.
And she posted a picture that I'll show you in a moment.
Oh, Mike's fixing his
hair. Oh, Mike, come here. Come on. Come on.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I thought you'd fallen. Ann Irwin posted a picture of her sink, and she writes,
"Look what's going on?
I don't know. But with right now, you're a perfect combination of
showered today.
Mike, you're a perfect combination of Laurel and Hardy. You have Stan Laurel's hair. And I'll show this picture to Oscar as well. Ann Irwin posted a picture of her sink on Facebook. She says, "Just pulled all of this ice out from under my Whirlpool freezer. Thanks, Rob Spiewak. My bonus show subscription just paid for itself." Look at that. Sheets of ice.
Sheets of ice.
Sheets
Mike.
Of ice, Mike. Sheets the size of ice. Of dessert.
So that was a problem ready
it
to
It was getting
happen.
Ready to happen. So
it was
you need to be proactive.
Ruin her weekend.
Yeah, it would. Right. It would ruin your 4th of July. So you should at least check.
Okay. All right. So that's what your update was?
My update is that, and you know what?
The update was that people are responding.
Yeah. The bonus show.
Mike Hansen writes, "I've also removed ice from the bottom of my Whirlpool freezer a couple of times." Andrew James says, "I have as well." 42 people loved this comment. This is, Mike, we're changing lives.
This is one of your big wins.
This is a win.
One of your big wins.
Usually what you give us is useless, and we can't use it for anything else.
No.
This is a big win.
Yeah, and then, and if I can throw a little tip in on what his favorite, you notice what his favorite, what was his favorite part of the book?
It was,
when we had Tony.
Of course.
When Sinatra dies.
Yeah.
Well, Mike.
His obsession with
yesterday, your audio vault yesterday was so dark.
Yes.
Do you have no death in the audio vault today?
Let me check.
Digital dumpster.
Let me check what's in the dumpster. Well, we have, of course, one dead person at the front of it.
I'm thinking about changing that, too, because
that's
too
dark.
Too
dark.
I think everybody's, we talk about one person. Oh, I do have a clip of a mortician. We can table that.
By the way, I asked Rob to send me closing tapes.
Yes,
and,
did he do it?
Yeah, but speaking of that, who does he send me? Because he is obsessed with death. This is the closing tape he sent me.
"Do you spend your days rushing to the nearest bathrooms?"
Did he send you?
No, he sent me. The other one was like Donald Duck that I can't use.
Did you
send me only two?
I sent you three. I sent you the duck. I sent you the king. And I sent you.
And me.
And you, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And me. By the way, my audio, unfortunately, is not good enough audio.
Oh,
you
no.
really just get it. It's too much background, and it doesn't really demonstrate.
We can always bump it up, right?
Yeah, we can go in the lab.
"Do you spend your days rushing to the nearest bathrooms?"
Mike, you know how you get great joy when you play the guy that's choking on the seltzer water and we laugh at it? That tape makes me laugh like the seltzer water guy. Yeah. That's why I sent
it
to you.
Well, maybe you'll get both, but keep them coming. Evolve or die, is that?
Yes.
That's what we say. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, check for ice.
All right.
Check for ice. All you got to do is lean under there. Take a look.
That's good. Really glad that you're influencing people and really making the world a better place.
You see, you got to get the bonus show. This is where all this information
comes
from.
One freezer at a time.
That's right.
My favorite part of the book was when he died.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and when we come
back.
My
favorite part of the show is when Mike spotlighted that.
You did it. We'll be right back.
What the hell's going on here?
I'm Casey Kasem.
Something ponderous, man.
Is Don on the phone?
Dear Casey.
Oh, f***
too.
I want somebody use this
fucking brain.
He was a little dog named Snuggles.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
What happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week?
We're up to our long-distance dedication.
I gotta talk about a fucking dog dying.
What is this fucking ponderous, man? God damn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Fucking ponderous.
You can make your long-distance mailbag dedication by sending an email to rob@mikeomaraShow.com.
Dear Casey.
That's Rob with two B's.
Two?
And until the next promo, America.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
You know, one thing I will always say is that, you know, when my epitaph is written, somebody said, well, we watched the show in those last years. His hair died before he did. Childhood experiences impact who we ultimately become. Education is like an investment in the future. So why not gift your young innovators super cool STEAM projects to nurture their curiosity and exploration outside of the classroom? With a KiwiCo subscription, your child gets a new crate full of fun science and art projects every single month. For trailblazing toddlers to more experienced explorers and every stage in between, KiwiCo got Michael interested in astronomy and physics. It's an awesome way for him to stretch his brain, his big, wonderful, beautiful brain, and do it in a fun way, especially during summer vacation. He loves it. From sailing the solar system to building an animation machine, everything is shipped right to your door. There's no commitment, so you can pause or cancel anytime. And the best part, watching their confidence grow as big as their smile. With KiwiCo, there's something for every kid or kid at heart. Every month, get your first month free on select crates at KiwiCo.com/TMOS. That's KiwiCo.com/TMOS. Let me give that to you one more time. That's KiwiCo. .com.
Mike, what about the prefix that sometimes goes at the front of a website? It's three letters. They're the same.
www.kiwicodotcom. No, I'm sorry. .com.
Full stop.
That's KiwiCo.com/TMOS. Stop that, please. All right, let's open up the thing, and we'll see who's in the death dumpster today. Let's see what's going on.
Curveball today, Mike.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
It's a horsey. Hey, and you were riding a horsey.
What is
Brad
that from?
Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That's right, that's right. Yes.
Brad Pitt's phenomenal in that movie. Absolutely incredible.
You know what? There's not a bad performance in the movie. Everybody's good in the movie.
It's great.
Yeah. All right. There's a trend on the TikTok. You know, Dick Robinson was telling us about TikTok yesterday, Mike.
Yeah, the TikTok. Hi, I'm Dick Robinson. You can get us on Instagram. TikTok.
Internet.
Yep.
So people are trying to whiten their teeth in the most appropriate, easy way they can. What are they doing? They're staying away from fluoride, and they're using Magic Eraser.
Okay, I get comments constantly, so I'm going to show you what I do. And yes, I am prepared for all the dentists that are going to come on here and be like, don't do it. I don't care. I go to the dentist. I don't tell them what I do, but they're like, you have the healthiest, strongest, cleanest teeth. And I'm like, why, thank you. Step number one, I don't use any fluoride at all. When the dentist says, use your fluoride, don't rinse. Nope, I don't do that. Yes, I do drink distilled water. Number two, I do something called oil pulling. Okay, look it up on YouTube, and I use coconut oil. Number three, and here is where we all gasp. This is a magic eraser. I take a little tiny piece of it, wet it. Don't touch your gums.
Ah!
Can you hear that? I've been doing it for like 2 years.
All right, Mike. An orthodontist did a TikTok video to reply to this lady to let her know how stupid she is. She's dumb. That's her.
Excuse me, was that a magic eraser? Like, she's afraid of fluoride, but she's cool with using a magic eraser on her teeth. But for real though, a magic eraser is actually made of melanin foam. It's basically foam that's hard as glass and acts like a really abrasive sandpaper. Meaning, yeah, your teeth are white because you scrubbed all the enamel off them. So in fact, no, don't do this.
In fact, no, do not use a magic eraser.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I think that when you go to a dentist, what do you have done? Your teeth are bleached. And yes. What is the magic eraser? Isn't that a bleach product?
No, it's an abrasive.
It's an abrasive.
Yeah.
So we use magic. I mean, we use it here at work, and it does not bleach. It is abrasive, and it does clean, but it does not bleach.
We tried it on Pony, and we were unsuccessful because he's still here.
Yeah, but all my magic is gone.
Could have told you that.
So, Mike, it's really hard to find something not to like about Dave Grohl. I mean, he's a great rock star, great band. Like, you don't?
I'm sorry.
I love him.
Your chops,
all right.
Though.
So what
he's
he did,
so good.
He really is. Foo Fighters.
I'm feeling weird today. I can't help myself. You know, he's so good.
Yeah, the Foo Fighters have an alternate band that they do called the DGs for Dave Grohl. The DGs, and this is their new single. Dave Grohl on lead vocal.
He is a talented guy.
He is. So that's the DGs as he does disco covers. He does, and he busts out weird covers in all his concerts and stuff.
I just kicked him out, and he wants to stay.
Oh, yeah.
You just there are days now.
He wants the mic time.
Yeah,
his hair is just like your hair.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like father, like son.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, got rained out of golf camp today, didn't you?
He has his grandmother's hair.
What did you want to say?
Because I could have won a prize.
Yeah, I know, because you were winning your competition today. Are you excited about Saturday? Are you excited about Saturday? You got to be
what's
a little
Saturday?
Quicker.
Your birthday.
It's your birthday.
What's Saturday?
Huh?
I don't know what Saturday is.
It's your birthday party. Oh. We're at the end of the show, so you have to go now. Say goodbye to the guys.
Adios.
So long.
What's going on? What's he doing? Yeah. What is he
doing? He's probably not excited about his birthday since mom threw all the ice cream out.
Yeah.
Hiyo, suckers. Yeah.
Mike, I can connect you one degree of separation with Dennis Quaid.
Ooh.
Really?
Yes.
Because one of my great dreams about to come true.
At the Grand Ole Opry this weekend, he helped debut the new single from the Bellamy Brothers' new album, Covers from Brothers.
Oh, no, I introduced the Bellamy Brothers, too.
Yeah, that's your connection to Dennis Quaid. But nice. Do you remember the isolated tape from you from that introduction?
All right.
That's exactly right, because after
that's kind of like, that's a creepy little camera, isn't it?
There? Oscar, we had a donkey basketball game, and then actually Mike was paying off the Bellamy Brothers, and they did like a 45-minute set in which Mike and I each had 1,000 beers.
1,000 beers, and then go, all right.
All right. Anyway,
Dom was there, too, but he wasn't as loaded as I was.
Here's Dennis Quaid and the Bellamy Brothers. Pretty good oldies to cover. Ain't nothing new, but a woman like you, baby.
Never had the blues. Let me hear. I got the tears on me.
That's Dennis
Quaid
singing, and the Bellamy Brothers band behind him.
Not Randy.
No. He's nuts.
I think Dennis parties pretty hardy.
I do too.
Yeah. I hope so.
You know, he did all his singing for the Jerry Lee Lewis movie, too. Oh, here's the Bellamy. Doing the harmony thing here. Holding me tight, telling me everything. So the Bellamy Brothers. Yes, exactly.
I don't know why I played it. My finger slipped.
I bet. You know what? I bet the Bellamy Brothers would love to go out to a good buffet with Charlie Daniels.
Unfortunately, he's dead.
Oh, maybe we'll see him in the dumpster someday.
Yeah, there's death again. He does it. He's thinking about it even when he's not thinking about it.
Well, I can't understand why he passed. Mike, this is sad. This lady was at a Zoom meeting, and when you had a Zoom meeting, make sure your chair, like Oscar does, he makes sure I have a three-dot office chair.
Yes, yes.
Your chair must be suited to your size. That's on the Zoom meeting. God.
Hold on a sec. Let's stop. All right. This is the fifth time it's happened.
I know.
Today.
Look at that piece of garbage that you work with every day.
About Oscar that way.
Hey, no, I'm talking about your little machine with its 500-year-old case.
I did you ask need, him about that.
You need something bigger. Yeah. You need something where you can
can't
put on
it.
You can't use it. You don't know how to use an iPad. Your fingers are too big or whatever. What's wrong today? It's like happened 5 or 10 times on the
mistakes.
Show.
I've made two mistakes. One because I grazed a mute button wrong.
That was a mistake. You have like sausages there.
Let's get your little holders back.
You want to bring the holders back?
Yes.
All right. It's going to be unsightly.
I mean, I don't want to give you the Hamilton speech, but I'm ready to give you Hamilton. Show a little pride.
You don't think Mike, I'm doing what I can. This will stop. All right. No more. No more board hopping errors.
Well, no, I think it's equipment failure.
No. I think it's
God, no. God, no. God, no. Don't change anything. Don't change anything and make it modern and more efficient. God forbid. Don't do that.
Do you need bigger
iPads? Turn
that
around and show everybody. Show the listeners that little thing you play with there. That thing. There you go. All right. Now hold your hand up next to it. Look at that. It's like a third of the size of your hand.
Let's get you some larger iPads.
All right, you want to set up your clip again?
Yes.
Or do you want to just go home?
I'd like to do both. So there's this lady, and the amazing thing is she's not a very large lady. It's just her chair doesn't suit her at this Zoom meeting, okay?
And I'll probably go down to Jersey where my uncle lives and stay and hang out with him for a bit.
Are you okay? Charlotte, what happened?
Kyle, are you recording this? The chair
broke. Desperately hope so.
Can you play that again?
Yeah,
that
Mike, good, and I wanted you to...
After all that, it was worth it. It was good.
Actually,
it
that was the short tape I really wanted to send you this morning, but I wanted to debut it in the dumpster before we actually played it.
And I'll probably go down to Jersey where my uncle lives and stay and hang out with him for a bit.
Are you okay?
That's awesome. You don't need to send that. That'll burn quickly. You don't need to say that. That's awesome, though.
And great I close take. With this. I know we had some good music in the vault today.
Yes.
But this is my favorite song of the ones I have. This is a sample of a cat we've had in the past. Cats that like lick sour cream or cream off of a spoon. And it sounds like they're saying yum. They really like it. But if you loop that and you add some music, you get something that's sort of catchy. We close with this.
Do you spend your days rushing to the nearest bathrooms?
I don't know. I'm a little addicted to that. All right.
So that's your cat song, and Mike, that is your digital dumpster. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
That's it, everybody. Let me close it up right there. There it is. And there it is. Hey, we got to get out of here. Our thanks to Tony O.
Yes.
He has a great book, Tony Appetisano, the book Sinatra and Me in the Wee Small Hours. To get him back to talk about Don Rickles. That would be an absolutely wonderful show. For everybody here at the Podville Media Studios and for Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Do you spend your days rushing to the nearest bathrooms?
Oh, good for you!
What do I do?